when you're going to go into the backcountry for 10 days with the guy you've never met. You're like, okay, how is this going to unfold? You pass the camera off to me, and it was like the Blair Witch Project, like with an elk bugle, you know.
Welcome to the Hardworking Hunter Podcast. Here I plan to bring you the good, the bad, and the ugly of some amazing adventure stories, as well as share some lessons learned over years of hunting experience. You can find out more about Hardworking Hunter, including films and other articles, at hardworkinghunter.com. All right. So, welcome back to the podcast. Today, you know, well, part of what I like to do with my podcast is have on, you know, guys and gals that are a little off the radar, you know, people that haven't exactly, you know, either been on podcasts or just, you know, been exposed at all in the outdoor industry. And so today, I'm having one of those guys on, and his name is Chris Swanson. How's it going, bud?
Good, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. You know, and so Chris is one of those guys that I've known for a while, and, you know, he's always out in the woods hunting and fishing any time that he can. And, you know, it's just so happens these last few years he's been going to school trying to become a doctor. So, you know, he's a little bit smarter than the rest of us, but...
I don't know about that, man. I think my wife would probably argue that too. But no, yeah. So I've been pretty busy with school. I'm actually, so I graduated from PA school. So I'm a physician assistant. Just started working and finally kind of getting back in my groove of having a little more time on my hands, getting out and planning more trips. So that's exciting for sure.
Yes. You know, let's just take a step back and kind of give the listeners a little idea of who you are and where you came from.
Cool. Yeah. So I was born and raised in Spokane, Washington. I've been hunting and fishing pretty much my entire life. My dad and I, and my brother and I, we all started bird hunting mostly when I was little to kind of break into things and, you know, learn firearm safety and everything. And then that just evolved and grew into big game hunting, and we've just, you know, we've been hunting passionately ever since. And of course, once I graduated high school and was kind of out doing my own thing, took up bow hunting, and kind of just trial and error, just did it on my own, made a lot of mistakes, learned a lot, you know. And then I started realizing, man, I am gonna need a pretty decent career if I'm going to be able to pay for all this hunting equipment and stuff, all my goals and dreams that I want to do as a hunter. So that started kind of really fueling the inspiration to start studying and going to school. And now on the other end of it, you know, practicing as a PA and just loving it. So yeah, man, it's been just so fun so far, and I just can't wait to plan more trips and have Shannon along with me too, my wife. She's from Spokane as well. It's just, yeah.
And she's quite the hunter herself.
She is. Yeah. Shannon has, I always joke around with people, I created a monster. So Shannon started shooting her bow before, like right before we met with her dad. They kind of were getting into it together. We met, and then I got her up in a tree stand, and she killed a nice whitetail buck her first year. And ever since then, she has just been hooked, just 100% invested, just wants to be outside all the time, and which I love, because when we're thinking of fun things to do together, it always comes back to just being centered around, you know, hunting, fishing, enjoying the outdoors.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, and it's funny because I will never forget kind of like when we first met, you know, we actually went on a hunt together. And, like for that hunt, you know, everyone knows when you're out with a buddy hunting, you know, it's just, you're just, you know, talking the whole time. And so like us being kind of new friends at the time, you know, we were just talking about life, you know, talking about, you know, like Shannon and you know, how that all got going. And I'll never forget, you were like, We were kind of talking about, you know, what it's like to have a partner that hunts and, you know, what that meant for you as to, you know, if you had to be with her all the time when she wanted to go. And I'll never forget, you looked at me and you're like, oh, heck no, she's not like that at all. Like that last buck she killed, I wasn't even there. She gutted it and got it all taken care of herself. And like that just blew me away because you just don't see that very often, you know, women hunter that like wants to do it all herself.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I like Shannon is very hands-on and always willing to learn. So, you know, if we kill an animal and it's hot out, you know, I'm like, I want to take care of it as fast as I can. And so, you know, I'll dive right in. But Shannon, you know, it's funny, she'll be like, hey, let me do this, or like she wants me to kind of take a step back so she can dive in there and you know, be really involved in it. And so sometimes I have to check myself and you know, slow down and like realize that she's just as invested in all this as I am. And she, you know, and that, yeah, it's funny. So that hunt that you're you know, referring to, you know, we're in the backcountry of Idaho, sitting on a hillside, you know, glassing, and we're just talking, and it's like, you know, we start talking about how it's just like she had grown into this just proficient kind of you know, just independent hunter herself, which is something I'm super proud of, because you know, a lot of those skills and things were kind of handed off to her from me, and you know, those were things that I learned from my dad. And it's just really cool, man. And I'm sure our kids someday will benefit not only from hunting with me, but from hunting with her, which is exciting.
Yeah, no,
So,
that'll be interesting to kind of watch unfold for sure.
yeah, for sure.
Well,
But,
enough about Shannon. She's not here to defend herself, so we can't talk too much crap. But yeah, so let's dive into that elk hunt. You know what I mean? That was kind of a something that's not exactly usual or common, where, you know, we just kind of literally meet and head in on this backcountry
Yeah,
elk
I
hunt.
know. It was pretty funny. It's like, so our mutual friend Jeff Bruce, you know, super stellar guy, extremely experienced elk hunter, used to guide on the Salmon River, and just, you know, he knows the entirety of Idaho, like the back of his hand, whether it's south, north, whatever. And so he was planning this hunt, and I was invited along, and he said, oh yeah, my buddy Zach Kenner is going to come along as well, you know, so here's his phone number if you guys want to, you know, chat before the hunt. That'd be great. And so I call you, and we're kind of just like, you know, BSing, and you had just come off of a hunt with Derek, who killed a really nice bull in Washington. And I was just, you know, it's just like, all right, here we go. So then we meet up, we drive down there, you know, we're kind of getting to know each other. And it's like, you never really know when you're going to go into the backcountry for 10 days with the guy you've never met. You're like, okay, how is this going to unfold? You know, because, you know, good hunting partners are hard to come by, I feel like.
You know, yes and no. I mean, I feel like anymore you can kind of read into you know, like a good DIY backcountry hunter. I swear they have so much in common with each other
That's
that
true.
I
That's true.
mean and but I mean I guess yeah, it's still, I mean, there can still be a, you know, interesting dynamic, but for the most part it seems like the guys I meet in the backcountry, I feel like I could be hunting alongside them no problem, you know, and get along and have a good time. You know, they're just like-minded.
Yeah. Well, and it probably you're probably exactly right. On that point, because in order to go and do that and succeed, you have to have a certain set of traits or skill set, whatever you want to call it, and so that narrows it down automatically anyways, don't you think,
Yeah,
as
no,
far
for
as far
sure.
as you know, getting along with guys. But so yeah, so anyway, so we show up, and we you know, get the horses all loaded up and everything the next morning after we rolled into camp. And we go in, and you know, we're all excited, and it's just like we've got 10 days of elk hunting ahead of us. And, you know, it's just like, there's just something about like almost the butterflies in your stomach kind of excitement, you know, and get everything all set up and wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to bulls bugling from like 80 yards from camp, you know? So it's just like, holy crap. Like, this is awesome. This is going to go down, you know? And me being a Northeast Washington elk hunter, you know, it's like, we don't have as good of numbers, I don't think, elk wise. And it's just so thick and nasty. It's hard. It's fairly hard to bow hunt and kill a nice bull in Northeast Washington over the counter. So I'm like, just at this point amped, you know, I'm like talking with Zach back and forth with you back and forth. I'm like, you know, like, if this comes in, we'll shoot this. If, you know, maybe if it's this big or whatever. And then it just comes down to it where it's like the first bull that walks in, I'm full draw. I'm just like full draw. And I'm just like, oh, it's going down, you know? And it was cool because I got to share it with you, a guy that I had known for what?
3 days. Yeah. I mean, you know, between like talking on the phone and then driving down and then hiking in, I mean, like about 3 days.
about 3 days. And so here we are now, like, just it was like we had been hunting together for years, you know, working together and get this bull on the ground. And it just was like the brotherhood had just, you know, it just seems so natural that how it all came together. It's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. I mean, like we said before we're definitely like-minded, you know, cause we like to hunt the backcountry, but there still is a difference in people's style of hunting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think we just lucked out as to ours pretty much meshed perfectly. You know, I mean, it's like neither of us are going to hear a bull, you know, what we think is a ridge or two ridges over and go, oh, he's too far, we're not going to go try. It's like, well, right, like, let's get going, you know.
Yeah.
We're burning daylight.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
I mean, I think, like I said, there's definitely something about being like-minded, but we're, you know, you and I were very much like-minded. And so, yeah, it definitely worked out for the best. And then, you know, I mean, I was filming it and, you know, that was kind of new to you, but you know, you put up with me, you know, wanting to get different B-roll shots and whatnot. But
well, and that was the first, other than a whitetail kill like years ago over my shoulder in the tree stand, that was the first like actual legit like on video hunt,
yeah,
that I had been a part of, which was really cool and exciting at the same time, you know. And so that added a whole different element, of course, you know, because that was, like you said, you know, that was kind of a learning curve for me, especially after I shot my bull and then it was your turn.
Yeah.
And so you passed the camera off to me and it was like the Blair Witch Project, like with an elk bugle, you know, like it just was, there was definitely some learning that had to take place there. But yeah, man, it was just, that hunt is in, you know, the top five for me of all time. It just, I don't know, it was so fun.
Yeah, no, it was. And I mean, it took me a while to get that film edited, but you know, now that it's all up and together, like, it turned out pretty good. I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we definitely took our time filming it, and like, to be honest, at the time, if I would have edited it right away, my editing skills were not as good. That, you know, shit, it actually took me 2 years, I think, to get that thing edited. But by then, I had done quite a bit of editing, and when I put that together, I think it turned out pretty good.
I think it's awesome, dude. Yeah. When you sent me the link to that and I watched it, I literally shared it with everyone I knew because I was just like so amped about it. You know, it was pretty cool.
It's like, when did you kill this bull? Oh yeah, like 2 years ago. Oh
yeah, I know, right? They're like, I didn't know. Like, what was this? Like, when was this? You know,
yeah.
Like, it's pretty funny. But the one of the funniest things that I still remember about that hunt, Zach, was at that point, you had killed elk, but like you were 100%. A diehard mule deer hunter.
Yeah.
When we went on that hunt. So like all of your tactics and like all of your just like you just would like eat, sleep, breathe mule deer hunting. And I mean, it showed because you already at that point you had killed some really nice bucks with your bow. And so it'd be funny, like we'd be sitting on a ridge and we'd hear a bugle and I'd be like, oh, what do you think, man? Like, you know, what do you think about this plan or that plan? You're like, bro, I don't know. I'm a mule deer hunter. you kept being like, I'm a mule deer hunter, man. You're the elk hunter. And I'd be like, oh, all right. You know, and then we'd come up with this like plan and we'd make a move or whatever. But it was pretty funny because it's just like now, you know, looking back, it's just like, that's not the case. I mean, you know, we both have kind of transitioned into, you know, this kind of across the board, just if you can chase it, we chase it. You know, if you can get the tag for it, we're trying to kill it. You know, it's just, I don't know. We both have evolved quite a bit since that hunt, which was what, 5 years ago now?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but the truth though is even now, as much as it hurts me to say this, I still have not killed an elk with my bow.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've killed a giant bull, but with my rifle.
Right.
But you know, I don't know. There's some plans for this fall actually that I think I'm going to get to go on an archery elk hunt with a tag in my pocket. So that might change. It's just the thing is though, is like I say that, but really I think I've only hunted them with a bow like 3 times.
Right.
Ever. And that including that hunt. And then on that hunt, I had an opportunity at a bull and I just misranged it and shot right under him.
Yeah.
And that's happened also on another hunt. Same thing. I kind of ranged it and it was kind of like a between the pins range. And I picked the pin above it and held on it instead of like shooting for between the pins and shot right under him. And kind of the same story. I had opportunities, which, I mean, for as little as I've archery elk hunted and had opportunities and missed, that's still really a success.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
You know, because and I've been a part of elk killed with a bow. You know, even before that hunt, I hunted on an archery hunt with my dad, and he stuck an arrow in a bull, stuck 2 arrows in a bull, and then the bull ran to me and was still standing, and so I put a couple arrows into it. You know, it's like, I don't know what actually killed it because my dad hit it in the heart. But then when I shot it, I let all the air out of his lungs.
Yeah.
And so like, and then he finally lay down and died. But, you know, I mean, that was dad's bull. I just kind of put, you know, when you're hunting with a bow, you know, you want to get as many arrows into him as I can, especially in that thick timber. And, so yeah, I mean, it like I was a part of it, but it was his bull,
right?
So, yeah. But either you know, so I'd been on a few elk hunts, but just well, and then on that hunt, on the hunt with my dad, I was at full draw on a 6-point at 25 yards, but all I could see was his head and horns. He just was kind of coming in below us, and like walked right below me at 25 yards and all I could see was his head and horns, and he needed to take like 6 more steps before I got a clear shot, but it just didn't happen.
And that is like that. I feel if anyone has ever elk hunted in North Idaho, Northeast Washington, that steep, thick, just jungle, as I call it, that's like bound to happen. I mean, I've had that same scenario. It took me bow hunting 5 years before I finally killed a bull with my bow, and it was in this thick nasty stuff where I had elk like within 30 yards stand there bugling, screaming in my face, but I couldn't even see them. Or right. if I could see them, I could just see a vague outline of them through the vine maple and just thick, you know, gnarly timber, and it just never happened. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just like you have those opportunities, but sometimes it just doesn't align right, you know. And just being out there and having a bull close, like that close in that dark timber, is I mean of course is a big accomplishment in itself, I think.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of what I was saying is even though the little that I have elk hunted, I've had super close encounters and like, I mean, which on paper, that's a successful elk hunt. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, all you can ask for is an opportunity and I had that opportunity and missed, you know, so.
Well, and even on video, like, you know, so talking about video, like videoing hunts, dude, I still, my heart rate still increases and I can feel like that, you know, pounding my chest, watching a video of somebody that calls in a bull and they're up close and personal, even if they don't get a shot off.
Yeah.
Like we just went to the Full Draw Film Tour, you know, in which we love to do every year. And you know, there's these close encounters and the bull's standing there screaming, you know, raking or whatever. Dude, I'm sitting there like losing it. I get so fired up just even like seeing or hearing bulls that I it's cool if you know the shot is on camera or whatever, but at the same time, like I just freaking love elk hunting and I love, you know, that experience that's being portrayed.
Yeah. No, so. I actually haven't seen the full draw film tour, but I've seen the trailers and was talking with Jade, and I, from what I'm told, there's some really good elk footage this year.
Yes, there is. Yeah. I will vouch for that. It's,
yeah. It's pretty awesome. Way better than in years past.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It seems like the tour just evolves every year and gets a little bit better and better. You know, the videos are obviously different, but, you know, a lot of them are just so well put together. You know, it just, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, for a shameless plug, get out there and, you know, look up the Full Draw Film Tour and see where the closest stop is to you. Cause I mean,
for sure.
I don't know that I'll make it this year cause there's not a stop in Alaska, but, I've up until this year, I haven't missed a year since I started going like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's well, and then, you know, I was obviously in it last year. So mm-hmm. It's been a big part of my life and I'm bummed that I'm not going to get to see it this year, but you know, I'll get the DVD when it's all done and watch it. And
yeah,
for sure. Mean, from the trailers I've seen and what I've been told, like if you're an elk hunter, this is definitely a good year to go.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of my other favorite films from the tour history was Russ Meyer and Jess Meyer. They had an elk hunt and it was kind of like, you know, Jess killed a bull, you know, he's crying on camera.
It was his first bull
yeah. to bow. Yeah. And it was like so emotional. And then of course Russ goes and kills a nice bull. This is before I met Russ, cause we got to know them fairly well and created a great friendship when we moved down to Boise. But I just remember sitting there at the film tour and watching that film and just being like, holy crap. Like that was just what, if you could epitomize elk hunting with family, that is what it's all about, you know? And that was the first film tour that I had been to. And ever since then, I was like, dude, I have to come to this every year.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, anyway, huge fan of the Full Draw Film Tour. I'll undoubtedly continue to support those guys. So,
yeah. They're making like a nationwide tour this year. They've got quite a few stops out east. So, even you Midwest East boys, like definitely get on and check it out and see how far, it is to the closest stop near you. I highly recommend it. It's a great show.
Yeah, for sure.
So to kind of switch gears, I saw that you and Shannon had a pretty epic turkey hunt here not that long ago.
Yeah, we opening day we went out and the original plan was Shannon wanted just to shoot one with the shotgun, you know, and then we were going to try bow hunting after that, if we got birds. So we went on opening day and the turkeys were pretty quiet actually. They were gobbling, but they weren't like fired up or anything, and they weren't super reactive as far as, you know, just coming in on a string. So we set out the decoys and I was just kind of light hen calling, and we thought we'd just sit there and see what happens. Well, we're kind of like joking around with each other, you know, not even paying attention, and kind of whispering back and forth. And I look over and there's a turkey running down this logging road straight at the decoy, never gobbled or anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, Shannon, right here. And so she turns and she looks, and so she, you know, she's already got the shotgun kind of up on her knees, so she's pretty much at the ready. This bird comes in and he's kind of doing that running, like half strut, like I'm gonna kick the shit out of this Jake decoy.
Yeah.
And so he comes in and he's like 2 feet from the decoy getting ready just to pound this thing, and she just rolls him, just smokes him. So when he was on the ground, he was flapping on the ground, you know. Well, the sounds of his wings flapping on the ground got this other tom to gobble.
Oh yeah. Just
got him all super fired up. And so that bird, we didn't even know he was there. He was probably 200 yards away. He just came straight into us. And I had no intentions of filling my tag that day, but I was like, dude, if we can double, let's do it. Of course, you know, duh.
Yeah.
So I grabbed the shotgun. Shannon starts calling, and within like a minute, we had my bird on the ground too. And so, you know, we're high-fiving and super excited, and got some really cool pictures. And that was a first for us. We'd never doubled, and so it was just a super fun hunt, man. Like, you know, the bow hunting thing is obviously the main goal for me because I'm just a bow hunter at heart, and I've shot a lot of turkeys with a shotgun. But there was just something about that I was like, man, if I can have that amount of excitement with a shotgun, like I would do it every year. Like, I don't really care. It was awesome.
Oh yeah. I mean, especially, like you said, out of all the turkeys that you've killed and you've never doubled, and then,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
to do it, you know, with your wife that you like, you know, you'd hunt with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's just super special for sure.
And it's funny because I usually, so when it comes to hunting, like, with whitetails, turkeys, whatever, I always try to get Shannon tagged out first. It might sound bad, but that gives me a little more freedom to do kind of what I want to do.
Yeah.
If I'm going to like leave town or go hunt with a buddy or, you know, do whatever, I always try to get Shannon, help, whether that's, you know, help scout, or if there's a spot where there's an animal that's being really regular to that area or something like that, we'll try to get her pretty well set up. And that was the case here. You know, I was like, yeah, let's get you on a bird, babe. Like, let's try to get you some success, and then I'll just go waste my time sitting in a ground blind with my bow, you know, so that she doesn't have to go endure all that. So, you know, we went out and it was cool because not only did the plan of her getting a bird come through, but I also got to take part, you know, which was really exciting because it was totally unexpected. And it just, yeah.
Yeah, made for some cool pictures.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome memories.
And it's funny because so many people are like, oh, like turkey hunting, like that's so dumb, you know, like, you know, because it's obviously you balance your time in the spring between bear hunting and turkey hunting. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a bear hunter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's because in Washington we can't bait bears, and you have to draw for a spring bear tag. And so I didn't grow up bear hunting. I'm not a successful bear hunter. We grew up turkey hunting, and it's just a difference in, I don't know, it's just a difference in experiences and a difference in hunting lifestyle, I guess.
You know, I mean, I definitely see the argument out there all over social media, you know, about bear hunting and turkey hunting, and I've done both. I did a fair amount of turkey hunting growing up, killed quite a few of them, but now it's like, if I have to, you know, have a weekend in the spring and I want to go spend my time, I go to the high country in Idaho and try to find a bear. But yeah, it's not necessarily because of whether I'm hunting a turkey or a bear. It's just that I love the high country, and so that's kind of where I've just transitioned to hunting bears, just because I get to go hike around and you know, get up above tree line.
For sure, yeah, and we're kind of transitioning more into that too, because you know, bear hunting for us is something that's actually fairly new, and it's exciting. You know, anything that's like new like that, where you're learning, or you know, there's a chance at a new type of success. You know, that's just all around exciting. So we're kind of transitioning into, we both have shot a lot of turkeys, yeah. And now we're like, oh well, maybe we should start investing our time bear hunting. And you know, I'm not gonna discriminate. I'll shoot one with a rifle, bow, whatever.
Well, you know, where you guys are planning on going there in Idaho, I mean, it's definitely doable with the bow. Anything is, but it's a lot tougher, you know, that,
yeah,
it's pretty thick down low, and, you know, a lot of times you're going to end up whacking those bears with a rifle across canyon and, you know, sure, where you can kind of see down into the timber. But yeah, I mean, you know, as far as a new bear hunter goes, I don't know, you know, who you talk to or whatnot, but all I can kind of tell you is, I don't actually, with the warm weather that you've had down there, there's probably not a lot of snow left.
Yeah, it's what snow is left. I mean, it's melting quick.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, but normally you'd get on the you're normally sitting in snow, glassing, you know, the south facing hills that are more snow. But and then a lot of times those bears will follow the snow line up, you know, because they're just wanting to graze on those fresh green shoots. Mm-hmm. So you know, when that grass gets a little bit bigger and a little more coarse, you know, they'd rather, it's not that they won't eat it, but they'd rather eat the smaller, fresher, more not as coarse shoots, you know. Mm-hmm. they end up kind of following their way up the mountain with the snow as it melts. But you guys are kind of, well, and it just depends on the year, you know. I mean, like, normally mid end of May is about perfect for some of that high country stuff, just because of the snow levels. But this year it seems like, you know, I mean, I'm hearing temperatures of already in the 90s down there.
We've had some days that have been definitely in the 80s.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, I think the snow is going to be melted quite a bit, and those bears are probably going to be higher.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a forewarning.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what we did. You know, we've been bear hunting a few times in that North Idaho country, and you know, we climb to the top of a mountain and try to find a fairly open southern facing slope, and
for sure
start glassing.
Yeah,
you'll see a lot of bull elk. It's awesome because they're on those same hillsides, mm-hmm. and about now they've got about, they normally got their brow tines, or their the first 2 or 3 points grown, so it's kind of cool to see all the bulls growing their horns already. Gets you excited even more.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, and it's, you know, it's like for the bear hunting thing, it's like I've had a ton of opportunities to shoot bears, but I've always been out like deer or elk hunting, and I'm like way back in there with the goal of shooting a bull or a deer, whatever. And I'm like, I come across a bear, you know, and I'm like, man, the last thing I want to do is like shoot this, you know, medium sized bear, you know, and have to take care of it and round trip out, you know, and this and that. And it's just like, I'm here to kill an elk, you know. So I just sit there and watch these bears kind of mosey on by. And it's happened like multiple times. So I can't say that I haven't had opportunities, you know. It's just, that hasn't been my, like my main objective at that point.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. You well, know, and that's what happened to me on my biggest bear. Is I was deer hunting and ran into a bear, and it's like, oh man, that's a nice black bear.
Yeah.
Like, it's all black, and that's what I want. And I've always wanted to kill one with my bow, and so I'm like, screw it, I'm gonna go try and shoot this bear. And
right.
Made a good stock and got it done. And I had no idea how big that bear was until I walked up on it. But it's freaking giant, you know. It was like,
oh yeah,
it was like 6'8".
Yeah, that was a nice bear. I remember seeing the picture of that.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, like, you know, so like my ability to judge bears isn't all that great just because, again, you know, my lack of like experience with them. So I set up a bait with Zach Owens, you know, Zach Owens.
Yeah.
A couple years ago while we were down, you know, when I was going to school, down in Southern Idaho. And, so we set up this bait, you know, and like the girls helped us pack all this stuff in, and I go and sit, I sat by myself the first time that I hunted it, and this nice cinnamon colored bear comes in, and I'm like, oh, it looks kind of small. Like, I don't know. You know, it's the first time I'm sitting, it's early, you know? So I let this thing walk, and then I'm taking pictures of it, you know, like on my phone, took a video, and I sent it to Zach, and he's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you should have shot that bear. Like, it was a fairly nice one. And here I am. I'm like, well, I'm, you know, I guess I had the mindset, like, unless something walks in and makes me go, whoa, you know, I'm not going to shoot it.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I look back on it and I'm like, dang it. Oh, I should have zipped an arrow through him. But hey, man, it was still pretty fun. And I just, yeah, it was a good memory anyways.
Yeah. So no, you know, that that whole baiting process that they're allowed to do over there, man, that sure seems like fun. You know, I mean, that's something I've never experienced, but that's just that much more time you get to spend outdoors because you're making all those trips in to bait and set up cameras and, you know, with multiple baiting stations and and, you know, you just get to see so many bears on camera and even in person, you know, I mean,
right.
You know, if you get some, you know, a bunch of small bears hitting a bait or whatever, and they come in and play around and fight and yeah. That definitely looks like fun. It's something that I would love to try one day.
Well, and those guys, you know, so like Russ Meyer, Zach, you know, to name a couple of guys in particular, they do it a certain way. You know, I'm not going to give away any like specific little things that they do, but they have a certain way that they go about baiting and how they approach their bait. You know, just there's a lot that goes into it that I didn't really know.
Oh yeah.
So that was a really cool like learning process because it's, you know, it'd be like those guys coming up and hunting whitetails with me, where there's a specific way where I go about things and the way I set up and my approach and everything like that. It's just a difference in learning from someone who's seasoned in that particular mindset or that particular species that they're pursuing. And so that was probably the coolest part of all of it is, you know, watching these guys who are fairly very accomplished set up these baits. It was a completely different learning environment for me. But anyway, in a roundabout way, it all was really cool. And I, you know, I came away from it, not with a kill, but with a pretty good knowledge and, you know, idea of how it all needs to go down.
How close were you sitting to the bait when that bear came in?
I was on the ground at about 20 yards.
Oh, yeah. See, that's so cool. I mean,
yeah. And so the thermal was perfect. It was evening. The wind was just coming down off the mountain. The bear, you know, so I was downhill from the bait. The bear came down off the ridge, you know. So, you know, the setup was just awesome wind-wise. And, you know, I mean, just sitting on the ground, like, 20 yards, you know, this bear is just kind of sitting there looking around. And he's eating a tortilla and just, like, whatever, you know. It's just, you're just so close that it's just so exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you're like, holy crap, I'm this close to a bear on the ground, you know? And anyway,
it's intense.
It's cool. Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because all the years I've hunted, I really haven't seen that many black bears until, 2 years ago in Wyoming. You know, granted I spent 27 days there, but we saw 14 bears. And, and from all ranges and sizes, you know, I had one, had a little watering hole that I found. It was just a little freaking spring in the ground, way up on top, you know, like kind of probably a gold mine. And there were so many tracks there. I mean, this was a well-used water pit. And I was like making a little video. I was by myself and I set up a camera and like I set my pack kind of off to the side. And I was bow hunting at the time, so I did have my pistol on my pack, but my pack was like 30 yards away from me, sitting in this little opening where I, you know, got all my crap out and was setting up the camera and was going to talk about, you know, like how valuable this water was or whatever. And so I'm literally on camera, like filling up my water bottle and kind of whispering and talking to it. And this bear comes in right behind me.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, and I just hear it, you know, I hear crashes and rock rolling. And I mean, when a bear walks through the woods, they're not very quiet. And, but the camera was kind of at a downhill angle looking at me, and the bear was kind of like paralleling the camera, like, you know, 40 yards from the camera looking or coming down. So it wasn't pointing in the direction of the bear, because otherwise it probably would have caught that bear walking out right behind me.
Right.
But I was on edge because I didn't know how big it was. I know that bear is probably coming to this water because it was like 11 o'clock in the day. It was getting pretty hot. This was, you know, early September. And my pistol is 40 yards the opposite direction. Or 30 yards the opposite way. And I'm like, oh, crap. This is not good. Yeah. But luckily, it popped out, and it was like a two and a half year old cub, basically. I mean, just a little guy. And he saw me, and I saw him, and our eyes locked, and he went, oh, shit. And I went, oh, shit. And we both, yeah, like, ran opposite directions.
Oh, man. Well, but, so, you know, we were talking about that Idaho elk hunt that we did together when we first met, and, you know, we made the film and everything. That, I think it was that same year, because that was the end of September that we went. That was, like, the last week of September that we went and did that hunt.
Yeah.
That same year... while I was elk hunting in Washington was when I had that grizzly encounter. I don't know if you remember that story.
Was that the one where you found the shed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't realize that was the same year.
It was the same day.
Oh, well, no. I mean, but the same year we hunted.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
No, that's a crazy story. You got to tell that story.
I was elk hunting Northeast Washington with my good buddy Gary.
On a quick side note, like, here we are, just met, you know, head down into Idaho, and we're in the backcountry 12 miles deep hunting, and we start talking about all the places that we've hunted, and this spot where this encounter happens to be a spot that we literally have both hunted, like, literally, yeah, to the peak.
Yeah, and to the same ridge. So we've sat on the same ridge and glassed elk.
Yeah.
So just crazy. And we discover that, you know, you show me footage of elk that you filmed, like, from way, way far away, you know, and then it, like, you zoom out and you can see where you're at. And I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty funny how, you know, really small world.
But, well, and that's how this bear story came up. It's because you were, right, like, oh, yeah, I just got back from hunting up there, actually. And then, like, yeah, you were telling me all the bunch of elk stories from that spot, and it's like, mm-hmm, what a small world. Like, that's just, yeah, crazy. But anyways, yeah, continue on.
Yeah, so we're sitting up on the ridge that we were just alluding to, I hear a bugle, and it's way down in the bottom of this drainage, like one of those places where, like, most people would be like, nope, not going there, you know. And I was actually by myself at the time. I hiked back out, because it was evening, and I was going to make a move on this bull in the morning. And so I got a hold of my buddy Gary. He was heading up. I told him where I was camped at, so he met me. We went in the next morning. Sure enough, that bull fires off, and he's just screaming, you know. This is a really cool drainage, just way, way back in there. And so we decide to go drop down in there for the day, and we find this just badass wallow, dude, like, so torn up. I mean, water's all super cloudy. You can tell that these elk have been using it. So we, you know, by this time it's like late morning. So we build this blind and we're taking a nap, you know, and like we're waiting for the afternoon. Like we're, you know, the elk have got to come take a dip at some point in there. So we're sitting there and all of a sudden they hear something coming tromping down the creek bed. And, you know, so I poke Gary, he's sleeping, he kind of wakes up and looks at me, and I'm, you know, kind of like motioning with my hands that there's, you know, I'm pointing towards the creek, like there's something coming in. So he sits up and we peek up over the edge of the blind that we made from these snag branches, and there all I see is this the back of this bear coming down the creek bed. But I'm like, dude, that thing is freaking huge. That's a big bear. And then I realize that bear's got a big old hump on his back. And then Gary looks at me and goes, that ain't a freaking black bear, dude. That's a grizzly. And so it's all starting to unfold, you know, and I'm like, holy crap. Well, at this point, this bear's like 30 yards from us, and the wind's perfect. He's just walking right towards us. And so we're like, man, we better like stand up and make our presence known, or else he's going to be like right on top of us by the time he realizes we're there. So we stand up. He looks at us. He stands up. He's just standing there. All three of us are standing there looking at each other like, okay, now what's the next move here, you know? So we're kind of whistling. I've got my pistol out, you know. I'm just like, all right, well, we're going to probably have to vacate this spot. This bear he's not scared. He's just standing there looking at us. And so we start backing up. We're grabbing our packs and stuff, and we're just slowly backing away, yelling, hey, bear, you know, this and that. Well, as I'm backing up, I trip and fall flat on my back. I'm like, yeah, great time to fall on your back, right? And there's a freaking grizzly standing there. And so I pretty much just scramble back to my feet. Well, what I had tripped on, and I didn't know this at the time, but Gary reaches down and he picks up this woodland caribou shed. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, what?
That's so crazy.
And so so like back in the 80s, I don't know the exact date. I think it was like 85 or 84, something like that. You know, they planted some woodland caribou up there, you know, North Idaho, Northeast Washington area. And there's very few of them left. I don't know what the exact.
I don't know. Last I heard, there's like 13 of them.
Yeah. And that number has probably even declined since. But anyway, so that alone was just like, holy crap. And it's not a small shed, like it's a nice one. And so here we are, we're like scrambling, we have this caribou shed, we have all our crap is just like hanging off of our packs, you know. And we climb up out of there, and you know the drainage, so you know how steep it is. So we get about halfway up that hill and we're just sitting there kind of catching our breath.
Well, back up. Did the bear run off?
The bear just kind of like, after we started backing away, he kind of went back down on all fours, and then he kind of just continued on doing his thing. It was really weird. That's what was so spooky about it, is he didn't spook off.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he kind of just kept lumbering along the creek bed there. And, I don't know. It was, I think, because he couldn't smell us.
Right.
He never got our scent, so he wasn't really, like spooked. He just was kind of like, you know, what is that?
Well, they claim they can't see very well, so I don't know what that equates to, but
right. So anyway, we watched him once we climbed up the hill. We saw him again, and he was a couple hundred yards away, and he was heading the other way. But it was getting dark, and we weren't planning on sticking around much longer.
Yeah.
So we got back to camp, and we're just admiring this shed, you know, and it just, man, that day in particular. To have a grizzly encounter in Washington and to pick up a woodland caribou shed in Washington, that was like one of the most epic days of hunting I've ever had.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know? The odds of finding one of those sheds is so, 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 so small.
And it was brown too. Like I've always wondered, I'm like, man, like, cause I haven't been, I'll be honest with you. I haven't been back to that spot since. I just have hunted other areas and stuff, and I haven't been down in there. And I was like, what other kind of crap's laying around in there, you know? It's like...
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I went in there a couple years after that and trying to hunt elk again, and it was horrible. Only elk track we saw had... Or it was like... It looked like maybe a cow-calf pair had wolf tracks in it, and I think the wolves have pushed... The elk all over in there.
Oh yeah.
So,
well, I don't know when
I'll go back.
Yeah, I there's a reason why I haven't been really, really super excited hunting up there. You know, in the recent years, just for that same reason. I mean, Shannon and I had that wolf encounter, again, you know, another epic day in the woods.
Well, don't hold out. Let us in. Well,
yeah, you know, so we were, this is actually before September. It was like mid-August, and we were just scouting. We went up, we hiked up this nasty, or one of our favorite elk hunting spots. It's just this, you know, it's a typical elk hike. It's just nasty. Get up, and, you know, on top, and we're just glassing and in this beautiful drainage. And this bull, I mean, we're talking middle of August, this bull first thing in the morning does the little locator bugle. It sounds like a pretty young bull, but I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I bugle back at him, you know, and we're just sitting there and we're like, smiles on our face, you know, like, ugh, this is so awesome. We're just out in nature and we're hearing bulls bugle, and it's just
a nice,
just
crisp great morning in August.
Yeah, exactly. And then I look over, I'm actually standing up to go take a leak, but I look over and there's five wolves in the rocks, like, I don't know, 50, 60 yards behind us. I have no idea how long they'd been there. Hmm. And I just instantly was like tased with adrenaline, dude. So I grabbed Shannon. She's like, what? Like, what's going on? As soon as she sees him, she's like, oh, shit. So I had my 45 on me, you know, so I pull out my pistol, you know, and long story short, without going into too much detail, they ended up going down over the hill after a couple pistol shots were fired. And, yeah. You know, once they went over the hill, there was like a lone, one of them howled and they took off. But I was like so upset after that, because that was a spot that we had hunted for so many years and never seen any wolf sign or anything in there. And then all of a sudden, boom, like, you know, they're reacting, just coming into us, you know, with a one, you know, one just kind of squealy young bull bugle. So, yeah, it just, man, it stuck with me, you know, just because it was another kind of crazy encounter. And it really is a crow flies. It wasn't that far from where that bear encounter was.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one thing that's always so crazy to me about, you know, like any other person wouldn't have had that experience, you know, except hunters.
Right.
It's like, you know, we put ourselves out there in the middle of nowhere where literally Mother Nature is at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I mean, I've been in situations too, like, and the same thing. It's like, actually, there's another time I got between a bear and a kill and another bear, and like I was downwind of that, you know, because I didn't want that bear to win me. Well, I didn't even think about it, but the wind from that kill was blowing down the drainage too, and this bear walks up like right behind me and never did see me. It only walked like 30 yards from me, and I just sat there and it just walked right by me. But what I realized is that it was just following the scent of that kill. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, what are the odds? Like, you know, here I am 7 miles deep, and it's like no one in their right mind would have had this experience either, except a hunter, because we put ourselves out there.
Well, and that's why, like, that for experiences like that alone, like, that's why I like genuinely feel sorry for people who are either anti-hunting or, you know,
couch potatoes just, in general. Yeah.
Right. Because even though
concrete dwellers.
Right. Yeah. Because they're just missing out on just like, it's just God's natural gift to us to be out, be able to go out and experience these things. Like, yeah, it takes effort and it takes, you know, some drive to go and put yourself out in those areas that we experience these things. But once you're out there and you start experiencing them, it's like the draw to go back over and over and over again, and it just gets stronger every time you go.
Right. I agree completely. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, there's just, yeah, it's just.
And now, man, now it's like, to me, it's all I live for.
Yeah.
It's like, I work to have enough money to go out in the fall and, you know, hunt and be outdoors. And it's like, that's it. Like,
yeah.
Well, I got nothing else to live for. You know? It's like, I mean, yeah. And a part of me wonders, like looking back, what if I didn't have that passion? Where would I be?
oh man, who knows?
You know, it's like, in terms of everything, I mean, like hunting to me is the only reason I probably don't weigh 300 pounds. I mean, yeah. like to be honest, like I have a sweet tooth that's like the size of Kodiak Island. I don't know. I can
vouch for that. Yeah.
And so like didn't have a reason to maintain my weight and, you know, stay in shape, AKA going out in the fall and wanting to climb mountains, I don't know how fat I would be.
That's funny, because when we were sitting there, we were at elk camp, we're sitting in the wall tent, and you're like, yeah, you know, I'll leave it to me. I'll be the one guy that goes on a 10-day backcountry elk hunt, and he'll come back fatter than before. And I was like, because it's just like, I mean, we were eating pretty good. I mean, you know, with the horses and stuff, we packed in like all sorts of good food, you know. It's just, yeah. Just like, but you had that bag, that big old bag of like, it was like a huge bag of apricot, like dried apricots.
Yeah.
It was like
solid, yeah. Sugar.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, that was funny.
But no, I mean, it's the truth. Like hunting has done so much for me, and I can't even imagine where I would be if I didn't have this.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's kind of mind boggling to me at how much, yeah. it's made me a better person, like overall, just, you know, from fitness to, oh man, you know, being a people person and talking to just so many different people, you know, I mean, you, yeah. Know, with the podcast and I mean, joining or, in, you know, going to like conservation organizations, you know, with like wild sheep and, you know, Elk Foundation, and, you know, going to these banquets where, you know, I'm meeting and talking about, you know, hunting, conservation, you know, just the hunting lifestyle.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm totally right there with you on that. You know, I can't help but just feel happy and just like super lucky when I leave like the hunting expo in Salt Lake, for example.
Right.
After that weekend, I always just feel like I'm just on this natural high because I've just spent, you know, 3 days with all these super badass, like-minded, like just
genuine down
to earth, just genuine people, you know. And so it's not about like, you know, being able to like name drop like, you know, this and that, blah 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 blah. It's just like, it's just excitement, like that I have that, like those quality people in my life that share such a similar passion for the outdoors, you know. And so it's like that aspect alone that I've gained through hunting, is just like, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. No, I actually talked, you know, I'm talking with Shannon a little bit down there at the Salt Lake Expo. And she's, if I remember right, she said something like, this weekend is just so much fun. It's like a reset for me. Like I get to come down and hang out with all these people and you know, just put work and life aside and like just reset and look forward to the next hunting season.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, we, you know, on top of the bear hunting thing, the turkey hunting thing, you know, all these encounters and stuff, it all boils down to like, we just at heart, like we're probably most diehard about hunting whitetails.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's probably our main passion, and like we just have the ability to travel, you know, such short distances from where we're at here and go and be in like some pretty awesome deer hunting spots. And so that, yeah. Really has soaked up most of our like focus and energy, you know. And so it's funny because living in the Northwest, like, you know, that's not something that people associate as being like the main animal of choice. You know, it's like people think of like mule deer, elk, and then they think of like the, you know, whitetail as being more like a Midwest thing.
Right.
And so it's funny, like when you go to a lot of these shows and, and stuff, especially the one in Salt Lake, you know, there's just like, there's a lot more mule deer hunters there than there are whitetail hunters, I feel like, obviously, because it's the Western Hunting Expo for good reason. But so it's funny. Shannon and I, you know, that's probably one of the most fun things is exchanging stories with a lot of people who are like diehard mule deer hunters when we're like diehard whitetail hunters.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a kind of a different angle, and that makes it fun too, because the stories are just, they're different, and it's just different types of hunting, and it's just, man, it's super fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So like, what do you guys got coming up for this season? I mean, obviously, like you just said, you're probably gonna, you know, put in some good time in the whitetail stand, but you're like gonna buy some Idaho elk tags or something. What do you got coming up?
Yeah. So I already bought my Idaho elk tag.
Oh man, already bit the bullet.
Yeah. So I'll be doing that. I hunt Washington elk every year too. We have a early archery and then a late archery, which the late archery can actually be pretty decent, but depending on, you know, where the herd's moving. It's like November, December, so it can be a tough hunt, you know, in the snow, but I enjoy it. So I'll do that. And then Shannon's probably going to do a, Idaho mule deer hunt that we're going to go on. And then
Going to go back down hunt with Russ.
I don't know if we'll hunt with Russ in particular. We haven't really talked, you know, made any particular plans, but yeah, we'll probably try to just do like a rifle hunt.
Gotcha.
Somewhere down, you know, down gotcha. South there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, like you said, we'll spend probably more time than we should sitting in a whitetail stand. You know, that can take quite a bit of time investment, depending on what, you know, what the season's like. But so we'll be busy. I'm contemplating buying another Idaho deer tag as well, and trying to shoot another decent whitetail in North Idaho.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can, you know, it's a little bit tougher because it's a little bit more of a drive, but I mean, you can play the same game that you're, the whitetail game that you're playing there out of Spokane, and play it just across the border.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I shot that. It was the first animal first deer I shot with a rifle since like high school. That it was a nice, you know, wide whitetail buck. Shot in North Idaho, I guess it's 2 years ago now. And I haven't been back to that spot since. I didn't hunt it last year. Just had too much going on with school and everything. But I think I'm going to try to go and, you know, maybe shoot another one with the rifle. Like I said, I'm not going to discriminate. I'm a bow hunter at heart, but I've been realizing that picking up the rifle and hunting some of these other seasons, it just extends my season. It yep. extends my ability to hunt, you know, more throughout the fall. So I'm like, dude, my ultimate goal is not to go out and kill a giant buck or bull. It's just to go out and spend as much time as I can in the outdoors. And so that hunting with both weapons allows me to do that.
Yeah. I've always done that. You know, bow, muzzleloader and rifle. I've hunted with them all and
right.
like, and I'll continue to try to hunt with them all. Because there's when you do it that way, there's always a season open.
Yep,
you know,
exactly.
And so there's always a tag to be filled, and like you said in the elk hunting video of mine, you're like, I love elk meat, and when I see horns, I get an itchy trigger finger.
Yeah, yeah, man, that's the truth. Like, I don't kill. It's funny, like I'm always when I'm joking around with my good hunting buddies, you included, I'm always like, you know, I'm the type of guy that you could look back on my hunting achievements and you could say I'm more about quantity than quality.
Right.
and what I mean about with that is like, yeah, I've killed some like decent animals, but to be honest with you, like I mean I haven't killed like any, you know, super stellar stud giants as far as the rack is concerned, you know. Yeah. I'm just like the type of dude that like man, if it's a respectable animal and it's like in bow range, it's probably going to die and I'm going to take it home and I'm going to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of funny. I don't discriminate. If it's an elk, it's an elk.
Yeah. Or and that's what I was even just getting at with that whitetail. It's like hunting with a rifle. It's like you're probably going to kill the first nice looking buck that you see and you're going to be happy because that's even more meat for the freezer.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Yep. Yeah, we've been eating well after last season. I mean, I'm sitting right here. I'm looking at a platter that's got some elk steaks thawing out like in front of me, actually in the kitchen. And it's just like, man, so lucky to be able to go out and have like the ability to get just this, like, I consider it gourmet, just like awesome meat that other people potentially will never experience in their lifetime.
Yeah, for sure. It's true.
So, but.
Well, shoot, man. I don't know what else to add. Thanks for coming on. This has been awesome. I mean, shoot, we actually haven't been able to catch up for a while.
I know. Yeah, but, it's been good.
I'm excited. It's going to be a good season. Excited to see you guys come up with as well. You know, I think you guys are hitting it pretty good for this next weekend. I hope you guys whack a bear. That'll be fun for you.
Yeah, yeah. If nothing else, we'll at least get out and, you know.
That's gorgeous country up there just to go hiking in anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I'm sure we'll have to fight off the ticks.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's this year has been talking about it. That's one thing I love about Alaska is there's no snakes and no ticks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. But yeah, man, thanks a lot for having me on. It's always, you know, gosh, I could sit here all day and tell hunting stories and, you know, just BS. It's just, I love it. This is part of the reason why we do it, is to be able to reflect on our accomplishments and, you know, the brotherhood that we've established.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, man. We'll chat soon.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, man.
See ya.